Good morning, everyone. I'm Todd Zwillick. I'm sitting here with Catherine Lanfer. Well, we heard former Vice President Dick Cheney in full attack mode yesterday in Washington.
Half measures keep you half exposed. You cannot keep just some nuclear-armed terrorist out of the United States. You must keep every nuclear-armed terrorist out of the United States.
Okay, well, President Obama seems to be taking it from all sides. He's got the former Vice President Dick Cheney hitting him from the right. He's got liberals hitting him from the left on detainees and Truth Commission, which leaves the president smack in the middle. Well, that sounds like he's getting hit a lot, but maybe that's right where the president wants to be. Maybe he's positioned right where he thinks he should be. Former President Bill Clinton called this tactic triangulation. And now in the New York Times, Peter Baker, who's a reporter there, writes, quote, President Obama seems to be turning to a triangulation strategy of his own. Peter Baker is with us. He's White House correspondent at the Times, and he's joining us. Peter, triangulation, of course, is the famous Clinton strategy. We just described it, leveraging two political positions at once and landing smack dab in the middle. How is the vice president applying this charge to the current president?
Well, what he says, what Dick Cheney says, is that, of course, triangulation is a political strategy, not a national security strategy, and that trying to play both sides off the other in a way, which is maybe successful in a political context, isn't the way to protect the country. It's a very interesting, you know, moment for Obama. This is really the first time he's been on the defensive on a matter of policy since he's taken office. And he's really trying to find a way of weaving between a lot of different, you know, competing and emotional, you know, outposts in the American society right now. He's trying to say, I'm going to keep you safe, but at the same time, I'm going to, you know, modify, but not get rid of, the whole Bush architecture on fighting terrorism. And that's a tough argument because people feel very strongly one way or the other.
Right, and it seems like in Washington, every time a bomb gets thrown, for instance, on Capitol Hill, Republican leaders...
Metaphorically,
every time a metaphorical, rhetorical bomb gets thrown at the president on detainees from the right, and then somebody like a liberal, like maybe Chairman Patrick Leahy of Judiciary, comes out about for truth commissions or prosecuting Bush administration lawyers for detainee policy and torture, it always seems like Barack Obama's the most reasonable guy in the room.
Well, that's the way he wants you to feel about it, absolutely. And he is trying to explain a nuanced position and trying to explain it in an understandable way. It's a real challenge, but he has, you know, it's interesting about Obama. He has supreme confidence in his own ability to explain any position to the American people. That's been, of course, one of his political strengths, his speaking ability. And we've seen that actually several times in the last week alone, in which he's been caught up in some sort of controversy, and his decision to sort of take it head on out of the sort of self-confidence that if he simply explains to people, they'll get it. And that's his idea.
All right. Well, Peter, I want you to listen to another statement from the former vice president yesterday, because I think Dick Cheney agrees with you on triangulation. Listen to this.
The administration seems to pride itself on searching for some kind of middle ground in policies addressing terrorism. They may take comfort in hearing disagreement from opposite ends of the spectrum. If liberals are unhappy about some decisions and conservatives are unhappy about other decisions, then it may seem to them that the president is on the path of sensible compromise. But in the fight against terrorism, there is no middle ground.
All right. The former vice president, as we say, quote, gets it. He gets it on triangulation, but he seems to be frustrated by it.
Right. Well, you know, Obama, of course, is saying, you know, I don't believe in absolutists, you know, and there are these absolutists on the one side who say that, you know, terrorism doesn't justify any change or any compromise at all in the way we've done things in the past, and there are absolutists on the other side who believe nothing matters except, you know, defending against terrorism and forget any other priorities. And what Obama's trying to say is, you know, I reject both those ideas, and I'm trying to find a pragmatic middle. And what, you know, Cheney is essentially saying, it's the old Barry Goldwater formulation to some extent. He's saying, you know, absolutism in the defense of liberty is no vice. He's saying, you know, that there's nothing wrong, and in fact, a great deal right with, you know, understanding that to protect the country, you're going to have to make some sacrifices, and that's what is needed at this time.
But, but- How ironic and how frustrating must it be for former Vice President Cheney to realize that it's his very absolutism that helps President Obama with his triangulation strategy?
Well, that's probably right. That's probably right. I mean, what you really heard yesterday, it was really fascinating to think about it. What you heard were, you heard two different viewpoints, right? You heard the 2001 viewpoint, and you heard the 2009 viewpoint. And what Cheney is reflecting is the view of somebody who lived through 9/11 in that White House bunker, making these decisions, having to live with the consequences, and feeling responsible in a very powerful way for protecting the country at a time when everybody thought that what happened on 9/11 was going to be repeated. And what Obama is coming at it from is a point of view 8 years later, when we haven't been hit inside the country since then, and the sort of the fear of the moment is kind of dissipated, and sort of the shock of that moment is dissipated, and he's looking at it in a different way with a different balance.
But Peter, hang on a minute, though, because if you look at the text and if you listen to President Obama yesterday, I think you could argue that you also heard someone who was very impassioned saying, look, what this country is about the rule of law, and by straying from that, we are actually making life more dangerous for ourselves. I mean, I heard an equally impassioned argument about a different way to defend our country, not so much someone saying, well, you know, the danger, it's been a while since we've been hit.
No, I'm not saying he's in any way minimizing the danger, but I am saying he's living in an environment in which the danger is not the dominant feeling in American society right now. In 2001 and in 2002, you did not hear a lot of voices at that time talking about the civil liberties part of the natural tension between security and liberty. You had people always all talking and focusing on the security aspect of things, and that justified a lot of ideas. And what Obama is saying is, okay, that period is gone. Whatever happened back then is gone. We're in an environment now where we can measure these things and recognize that we have the different values that we still have to uphold. That's what he's saying.
All right. Well, Peter, one of the key issues on this is interrogation, certainly enhanced interrogation, waterboarding, torture. Another key issue is detainees in Guantanamo, whether Guantanamo will be closed. And that's another key part of national security strategy. It came up in both speeches yesterday. But in terms of the president being in the middle, he's not alone. There are conservative Republicans who seem to want to be joining him, I guess, if he truly is in the middle, on finding a way forward on detainees. He's not just getting help from Democrats. Listen to Lindsey Graham, conservative senator from South Carolina.
I want a system that will be there for the next president and the ones thereafter. And I talked to the president yesterday. He called me yesterday, and he says, we're going to go down on the middle on this. We're going to find a system that repairs damage and moves forward. And he wants a system, and he said this, that my predecessor will be able to use.
That's from an interview I had with the senator the other day on Capitol Hill. He's also saying that the president's going to work with me on this, and I'm going to help him with the politics.
Sure, right. Well, listen, that's what's interesting about Obama's approach here. It's sort of a smorgasbord approach in some ways. He's picking on different topics, something here that the left likes, something here that the right likes. Lindsey Graham is supportive of that idea. He's not supportive of some of the other things that Obama's talked about. For instance, I think Lindsey Graham has been critical of the idea of accountability for anybody who devised policies on torture, enhanced interrogation techniques, that sort of thing. And that's what's interesting about Obama's approach. Different people are supporting different aspects of it and then critical of other aspects of it.
All right, well, we've been talking about the politics of this and where the president has positioned himself, and that's interesting. But it seems like the real proof of this is going to be in events, isn't it? If we go another 4 years, 8 years without an attack, the president will be proved right. We can enhance our rule of law and still have security. And if we're attacked, he'll be proved wrong in public opinion, won't he?
Well, I mean, that will be the argument anyway. You can make an argument about whether or not an attack proves we were right or wrong. Certainly Bush makes the argument that we went 7 years without an attack after 9/11 inside the United States, and therefore that justifies what he did, and it shows he was right, blah, blah, blah. You know, we don't really know why we weren't hit in the last 7 years, and if we were hit in the next 4 years, we won't necessarily know whether it's a result of a particular policy change. But certainly that will be the argument people will make. That will certainly be the context in which anything happens. And that's something Obama people are very conscious of. I mean, they don't want to do anything that would, you know, give credence to the argument that they have done anything to weaken the nation's defenses on the chance that something happens, and something could happen regardless of everything that's done to stop it. You know, as the Bush people always used to say, and they're right about this, you know, the terrorist only has to be successful one time. We have to be successful 100% of the time.
And if they're not successful 100% of the time, the Democratic administration has to come up with a strategy for convincing the public that they were still doing the right thing, or at least trying to. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it. Peter Baker, White House correspondent for The New York Times, joining us talking about the politics of detainee strategy and the way forward.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.